Report is back. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
Welcome back to the Doherty Report. Good morning, Orlando. Happy Monday. So, a while back, probably about a month ago, I was a guest on Clyde Lewis's Ground Zero program for about the first hour, and we talked about this case of three girls who had stolen a car, three teenage girls, and they stole a car. The sheriff's office said they didn't chase them, but they were immediately behind them when they ended up in a cemetery. So I have a hard time believing they didn't chase them. And after being there, I have a hard time believing they didn't block their way in the other direction to keep going down the highway. I can't see any reason why they would have turned where they did unless they were blocked off. And I would like to see that dash cam, which has not been released as far as I know. Anyway, they turned down this road where it said no outlet. They drove right into this cemetery called Royal Palm Cemetery. We visited it. There are two of them. We visited the first one where they have Confederate soldiers buried. And there was a news story years ago in the St. Petersburg Times that said the stars and bars fly over Royal Palm Cemetery. You can still see the flagpole there, but there's no Confederate flag there anymore because people know that you don't fly those anymore. But you can still see the grave markers of the Confederate soldiers. So we did that. Then we went to the other part of the cemetery, which is a few miles away. And that's where the girls were driving into for some unknown reason, because there was an open highway in front of them where they could have kept going unless they were stopped from doing so. That is my strong suspicion. And I would like to see a video of that. So they turned right, which is, it's a pretty sharp turn too. It's not something you would just normally do if you were in a hurry. They turned right into this cemetery. It said no outlet. They go down into the cemetery and you can see 275 behind the fence. I'm not sure if they could see the fence at night, but I'll tell you what I'm sure they couldn't see, and we took a video of it. We're going to edit it a little bit, and then we're going to put it up on the website. The pond is covered in, what's that called?
It's called water lettuce, and it's an invasive plant in the state of Florida. It's about the size of a small, when it grows out fully, it's about the size of a small saucer.
Okay.
All right? And it floats on the water, and what it does is it makes it look like it's just a green field.
Yeah.
When the lake fills up with those things.
You can't tell that there's water there. So the girls were not thinking there was water there. And you can see where they entered the pond because it's the only place where the weeds are gone.
Well, there's cattails.
Huge cattails.
Mm-hmm. Like about 7 feet tall.
Except in this one spot where the car entered. And there's flowers there that somebody left. And you can see there's a hole in the weeds where the car went in. I have a hard time believing also that they were 20 yards out. Or even 20 feet out. Because those weeds are undisturbed, the cabbage, whatever, water lettuce,
mm-hmm.
But right next to the shore, it's gone. It looks to me like they entered the pond right next to the shore, obviously. They could have been saved. And then the video you saw on my website, and go to my website at elizabethdougherty.com. And at the bottom of the story, there's a link to ABC News with a video of the sheriffs standing there watching them drown. They didn't try to save them at all. And you hear one of the guys say, "Oh, I think I hear screaming." And let's point out the fact that these were three black girls and these were all white sheriffs, from what I could see in the video. We have a few cuts for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Bob Gualtieri, Sheriff of Pinellas County, Cut 1.
Good afternoon. I'm Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Gualtieri, and we're here this afternoon to continue from the information that I gave you this morning regarding the incident that happened in a cemetery out off of Gandy Boulevard. At about 3:30 this morning, a Pinellas County Sheriff's Office sergeant observed a 1998 gold Honda Accord that was traveling eastbound on Sunset Point Road west of U.S. 19. The car was traveling without headlights. The sergeant, who was traveling westbound, turned around. He attempted to stop the vehicle as it turned south on U.S. 19 from Sunset Point Road.
Okay, so there's the first part of it. That's how the...
Yeah, so they tried to stop them previously mm-hmm. from traveling. So it seems reasonable to me that they may have stopped them from continuing down that highway.
But
they should have known, because they've been to that cemetery before for other reasons, that there was no outlet there and there was a huge pond there that's 15 foot deep. Very irresponsible. And then they didn't even try to save them. Let's play cut two.
The vehicle eventually ended up at U.S. 19 and Gandy Boulevard, where it stopped at the red light to turn east on Gandy from U.S. 19. At that point, there was another Pinellas County Sheriff's Office cruiser that was south of the intersection, and we surmised that the driver of the vehicle saw that cruiser, and that was the reason why at that point that she ran the red light for eastbound traffic and accelerated through the intersection quickly.
So throughout this car chase that they say is not a car chase, they were blocking their path numerous times. Let's play cut three.
The sergeant and other units followed and then saw the vehicle stopped at the side of the road at Gandy Boulevard and Frontage Road, which is where, for those of you that were out there this morning, that's where you turn south off of Gandy to get into the cemetery. The vehicle paused there for a few moments and then proceeded south and east onto Frontage Road, heading towards the cemetery. It's a dead-end area back in there, and our units knew that there was no way out. The Sheriff's Office units followed the vehicle as it entered the cemetery, and it was traveling at about 30 to 35 miles an hour. This is a very, very dark area, and by now it was close to 4 o'clock this morning. There's no lights in the area. And so as they entered the cemetery, driving on that road at 30, 35 miles an hour, it's actually pretty fast for the windy roads and with it being very dark and no lighting.
How do you go from stopped to 35 miles an hour? How do you do that?
I don't know. That's probably one of the most important cuts. And we learned this yesterday as a result of actually driving that route.
Yeah, we went there.
What happened at the corner of Gandy and Frontage Road that made those girls turn south onto Frontage Road and then it kind of curves to the east?
I think they were forced in that direction.
Why did they stop? I mean, if you're at that intersection, look it up on Google Maps if you'd like. Gandy and Frontage Road and Gandy and I-275. If they had proceeded a half mile further, they would have hit the entrance ramp to I-275 and been able to make their way down back to St. Petersburg. Something forced them to stop, wait, and turn onto Frontage Road. And that's what's not being identified in that particular cut. That's what's not being described. What caused those girls to turn onto Frontage Road? knowing, I mean, and the cops knowing that it was a dead end.
Well, he said he knew it was a dead end.
Yeah, the cops knew it was a dead end.
They knew there was a pond there. What do you think's going to happen?
Well, here's what happened.
As the vehicle rounded the curved road at the end of the cemetery, all you could see at that point, looking ahead, which would be south and east, would be I-275, because the cemetery butts up to I-275. And at that point, the vehicle left the roadway and, without braking, traveling at about 30, 35 miles an hour, entered into a pond, which would be at the southeast section of the cemetery. The vehicle became submerged in the water. The doors were closed and the windows on the vehicle were up. The vehicle drifted about 20 yards into the pond and was fully submerged within about 5 minutes. The deputies who had been following the vehicle, as soon as it entered the water, they shed their gun belts and other equipment. They attempted to reach the occupants and rescue them, but because of the thick, muddy water, they were unable to do so. It was all, as you can see from the photographs of the car when it was pulled out, it was very grassy, very muddy. The vehicle was covered in muck. So as the deputies were wading out into the water, they were just sinking down. They could not get to the car.
The video released by ABC News did not indicate they were wet or mucky in any way. Maybe I'm missing something here.
Or maybe you're not being told something.
Well, the other thing is, if you drive straight into the cemetery, you end up at that pond. It's not like they had to go to the southeast corner and curve around and do a bunch of stuff. We didn't. We just drove straight in, didn't we?
Yeah, and I'd never been in the cemetery before.
You just
and I just, you know, straight in. There's a couple of curves, and there's actually a dip in the road and a curve and a fork, and the natural inclination takes you right to that pond. That's the way the road leads. I'm looking at a map of it, an aerial map of it right now, the geography map on Google.
Yeah.
Leads you right to it. They did not make that sharp left-hand turn and instead went straight into the pond.
Now, this is where they start trashing the girls to justify their actions. Let's play cut five.
The vehicle was pulled from the water and, unfortunately, found deceased in the car were two 15-year-old and one 16-year-old black female. The dead girls are Ashante Butler, with the date of birth of 4/18/2000, Lanaya Miller, date of birth 4/21/2000, and Dominique Battle, who was born on 8/23/1999. All three girls lived in St. Petersburg.
Here's what's not being said there. They already knew who these girls were because they had previously stolen cars. They were very troubled teens. And also, Dominique Battle was renting a house from, what's that guy's name that was shot?
I can't remember off the top of
in the attic.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, we'll
anyway,
look him up.
What the real reason the cops knew of the identity of the girls was the vehicle was stolen in St. Petersburg earlier in the evening at about 8:30. It had been reported, and the person who owned the car knew who the girls were to some degree, so they had a pretty good idea of who was in the car already. Because they ran the plates, the cops earlier in the chase back, you know, cut number one, where he talks about how it began, and cut number two, where he talks about how they could have stopped the car but did not, because it did not raise to the level of, you know, requiring a police chase. The girls weren't doing anything that required a police chase where they could have been run down earlier. So the cops knew who was in the car. Then the serious trashing of their reputation began. This is...
The guy's name is Hydra Lacey, by the way.
Hydra Lacey, thank you. Junior.
She was renting a house from that family.
Well, her parents were.
Yeah.
Her parents were. All right, listen to this.
All three of these girls have criminal histories for Grand Theft Auto. And I'm just going to run through those briefly. You can see on the photographs it's laid out here as to what those criminal histories are. But
who cares what their criminal histories are?
Been arrested in 2015.
They put these big, gigantic posters together
for auto theft,
with their rap sheets and their photos.
Again,
these things were, you know, 36 inches tall, 24 inches wide. They were big posters.
So they had time to do that.
They had time to do that, but didn't have 5 minutes to go get the girls out of the car.
In the 5 minutes they were sinking.
Listen to this.
Grand Theft Auto. March of 15 for Grand Theft Auto. May of 15.
How is this appropriate?
June of 15 for failure to
appear. It doesn't matter.
July of 15 for
violation of
probation, home detention.
You know,
November of 15 for grand theft.
They were not violent.
December of 15.
They weren't armed.
For repossession of marijuana and failure to appear. And again in January of this year for grand theft auto. At the time that she
died, first of all,
an outstanding warrant.
Aren't juvenile records supposed to be held confidential and eventually, you know, thrown out?
They don't seem to care.
Seven times in the last year. Just for Grand Theft Auto.
They're just trying to justify their guilt.
Well, justify their actions. Justify their actions. And they said that this was all as a result of a rash of car thefts in Pinellas County. Listen.
This situation is very frustrating because three young lives have been needlessly lost.
Yeah, you're right.
It's also very frustrating because it is yet one more example of what's really become an epidemic occurring in Pinellas County and specifically in the city of St. Petersburg. We've been plagued for over a year with excessive auto thefts being committed by young, primarily black, young people.
Don't care.
Most of the young people live in South St. Petersburg, but steal cars throughout Pinellas County and in Tampa.
Smacks of racism.
When they steal the cars, they engage in other crimes like armed robbery, drug distribution, and then dump the cars or run from the police and abandon these cars.
So they deserve to die. So you decided you're going to be judge and jury and let them die. To make them an example? You should not be the sheriff. You know, and what bothers me about this, you know, I love everybody at the Tampa Bay Times, but and I have a feeling it's not the writers, but someone made a decision not to really delve into this story. Everybody knows there's problems with this story. I talked to my cousin, who's a journalist, in Philadelphia last night. He said, that's crazy. And also the fact that they demolished Hydra Lacey's house after the shootout with the cops. Why would they do that?
Yeah, now that's two separate incidents. I just want to make sure that you understand that's two separate.
Hydra Lacey was the guy who was renting the house to Dominique Battle's parents.
He wasn't, because he was already dead. And this
his family. Well, he could have rented it before he died.
A trust.
Well, it kept going back and forth between him and a trust.
Uh-huh.
A numbered trust. So I don't know who owns his properties now. But why would you knock down a house whose wife still had all her belongings in it immediately after he died? Unless you're trying to cover something up.
Something really smells about this whole case.
The whole thing. The whole area.
And more than
South St. Petersburg.
Yeah, and more than just that, the attitude toward African Americans that live in St. Petersburg by the police department. There's that tension. It's still there. It's never that far away. By the way, let me go ahead and just set this cut up. There have been a number of stories. There's even been a national radio show that's talked about this. That would be Ground Zero. You even appeared on that program to talk about it. Bob Gualtieri, the sheriff of Pinellas County, has some words for those of you or those of us who have suspicions about what's going on and what happened in this case. You haven't heard this cut. Listen to this.
So I don't really care what they say. I really don't. You know, they can make these bald, wild allegations all day long. Fact is,
what is wrong with this guy?
A problem with the sheriff's offices and a problem with the police.
Yeah,
this
I have a problem
with those kids. And then you've got some really irresponsible people who are writing articles and putting them all over social media, and Facebook's blowing up with it.
Kiss my behind. Are you kidding me?
No. No, not at all.
Yeah. You know what? We're not going away. I don't live in your county. How about that?
And even though this took place in Pinellas County, it feels like the same thing could happen anywhere. That's why we're bringing the story to you.
Actually, I like the sheriff's office in Orange County. They're really great people. You know, I know them. They're great people. They, you know, they're responsive. They do a great job. There's something intrinsically wrong with the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office.
I got one more cut to play for you. This from the police scanner.
And, I see that the headlights went out right now, but I don't have a good visual of the inside. Do you guys still see the people inside the vehicle?
Hey, the vehicle is completely submerged underwater. I'm not able to have a visual on the car at all at this point. J5, we're just going to get out and check this wood line to make sure they didn't ghost ride it in there for whatever reason we didn't see them.
You hear that? We want to see if they didn't ghost ride it into the lake, into the pond. They wanted to make sure that the girls didn't just start the car, you know, roll it down into the lake, and then, you know, were hiding somewhere. That's what they were concerned with.
Oh, they wanted to make sure they were in the car and died. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, listen.
Play it again.
I'll play it again, just this part.
J5, we're just going to get out and check this wood line to make sure they didn't ghost ride it in there for whatever reason we didn't see them.
We're just going to get out and go through the woods. We want to make sure they didn't ghost ride it down into there.
So he didn't say we're going into the pond to try to save them.
What I say is still needed is the police scanner audio from the point where the girls stopped the car at the corner of Gandy Boulevard and Frontage Road.
I want to hear the entire event.
What prompted them to go down Frontage Road? The cops knew that that was a dead end.
Is there a camera at that light?
There's cameras everywhere. This is America with a K. There's cameras
at
everywhere.
At that stoplight?
We'll have to find out. We'll have to find out. I'd be surprised if there's not.
I want to know if there was a cruiser there blocking their way down the highway and forcing them down that road.
I mean, think about it. You had the cruiser coming southbound on 19 following the girls. He admitted that there was one coming north on 19 at Gandy
Boulevard. Blocked them at least twice.
And that's why the girls turned onto Gandy Boulevard and ran the light.
Right.
Okay. Is it too far-fetched to think that they called ahead and said, hey, don't let them get on the interstate? Block Gandy Boulevard at Frontage so we can put an end to this. Is it far-fetched to think that they did that, that they called ahead and had somebody in a cruiser stop at Gandy and Frontage to force them onto Frontage Road?
And I don't really care what you think.
Yeah. All right, quick timeout.
I was so mad after I saw all of that.
I know.
And we are going to clean up that video, and we're going to post it online so you can see exactly what it looks like in the daylight and how difficult it would be to see where you were going. It looks like grass. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Stay with us. Good morning, Orlando.
With us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report. Once again, here's Elizabeth.
The National Weather Service has issued a tropical storm warning for Orange County, Florida, active for the next 8 hours. The locations affected are Orlando, Apopka, Christmas. That means tropical storm wind conditions are expected somewhere within this area. And possible flooding rain. Important for you to know. We also have a traffic update.
You're going to find accidents working right now. I-4 westbound at Maitland, including road blockage there. Partial road blockage, State Road 46 at County Road 435 up in Sorrento. And where was the third one? The third one, I just saw it. Oh, that was the earlier accident at Orange Avenue and Town Center Boulevard down near the Turnpike. That one's being cleared right now, but you're going to find a lot of slowdown in both directions, north and southbound, on Orange Avenue.
We spent the last several minutes talking about these three teenage girls who died. I had not really paid much attention to this story until Clyde Lewis from Ground Zero called me, and he said, "My fiance Janine and I were talking about this, and Janine feels like there's something not right with this story. And we knew the person to call was you." So I did some research, and they were right. There's something very wrong with this story. I think as we move forward, we're going to find out more. Because there's already an attorney involved now for one of the girls. And I think she's going to appear on the show at some point. We'll have to get back with her today. But really, to say you don't really care what other people think after three girls died, and you sat there and posted their rap sheets on the wall and took all the time to do that, but you couldn't take those 5 minutes when they were still floating in the water to save them? They weren't that far away from you. What still haunts me in that ABC video, ABC News video, and you can see it at ElizabethDoherty.com, right underneath the Ground Zero story, is I think I hear them screaming. We appreciate you joining us this morning. We hope you have a great day. But keep in mind, these three girls. We'll be right here tomorrow on the Doherty Report.
This is The Voice, WPRD, Winter Park, Orlando.